Those were going to beat the Chargers by 15 points. Did you predict that?
No.
Was that a surprise to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hell, Drake's eating a banana. He didn't know. How the hell did he know what was going on in that game?
He said that game was bananas.
And so now you've got the Broncos, and what do they come in here with? They come in here with some hope.
Mm.
Hold on here. Wait a minute. We beat the Chargers? Now things are starting to come together. We're only a game out of first place. And that's exciting for me because, look, when's the last time the Broncos have really been a threat? Like a real threat to the Chiefs. They've lost. By the way, let's every day, I don't know if Nate's done this on Monday and Tuesday, but every day, let us utilize this radio show as a reminder that the Chiefs have beat the Broncos 11 times in a row. 11 times in a row. And they got a chance to get to the teens by the end of the year. Let's get this streak to 13, which would be...
It's been 6 years, right?
To even say that. To even say... When we were kids, if you were a Chiefs fan in the 80s and 90s, could you even wrap your head around that? Oh, yeah, someday down the road, the Chiefs are going to get this franchise quarterback, Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Fame tight end, one of the best wide receivers in the league, and they are going to beat the Broncos 11 times in a row. Never. Never. There was a time I wanted the Chiefs to win at Mile High one time in a row, and I thought that was impossible. I remember we'd sit around with my friends. I'd sit around with the cooch. Nate saw the cooch last week.
I did.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Of course you did. Big Tom, it's Mike Conchira. That's the cooch. I know what you're thinking. Don't try to drag me through the mud my first day back from vacay.
Does he have a beard like you, or has he been shaving?
Yeah, nice beard. It's a lot more trim than mine. But the point is,
he's keeping his pretty tight.
Right. We'd sit around and we'd watch these games. We'd go to games together and we'd look at the schedule. When do we play Denver? Oh. You think they can win at Denver this year? No. Okay. And you just kind of mark that off as a loss. Until Joe Montana came along and changed things and finally won in Denver. What a magical night that was on Monday Night Football. But now, it's even a step further than that. Now, at least for the past several years, Broncos fans look at the schedule. Okay, what two times do we play the Chiefs? You think we can beat them? No. Mark down two losses. That's a terrible feeling. And I'm glad Broncos fans have it.
Ha!
It makes me happy. But now maybe, because they've had a couple of really nice games. When they blew out the Cowboys, and this win against the Chargers, despite, boy, having a really bad issue at quarterback, right? I mean, it's that they got problems at quarterback. But they have some evidence. Hey, if they play their A game, I mean, I don't know what you want to call the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, we've been force-fed by the national media. They're Super Bowl contenders. They're Super Bowl contenders. But it feels like they're falling apart now. And so I know they've battled injury, everything else. But so is every other team in the NFL. Whatever you want to call the Cowboys, they're a good team. And that was a shocking result, the way the Broncos beat them. And I think everyone has signed off on the idea, okay, if the Chiefs are going to really be challenged by anyone in the AFC West, it's going to be the Chargers. That's the team that is equipped to beat the Chiefs. That's the team that has the quarterback that can go head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes. And then last week, the Broncos put it on them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then maybe that's enough. Even though they have problems at quarterback, maybe that's enough for Broncos fans to think, oh, hold on, we got a shot here. Maybe we can win against Kansas City. Kansas City's not as good as they've been the past couple of years. Or are they? I don't know now. We'll see. Maybe the Chiefs defense is kicking ass, and maybe things are going to come together out of the bye week offensively. I wouldn't want to play the Chiefs out of the bye week. That seems to be a bad proposition for teams during Andy Reid's tenure in the NFL. Oh, he's been there longer than 10 years.
Like 20 years?
Yeah. During his 20-year tenure, wordplay. Drake, I'm trying here, all right? But the point is, this is a big game. It's Sunday night football. They flexed. They thought it was good enough to be flexed before the Broncos beat the Chargers. And I'm here to tell you, and maybe I'm super overconfident. There's no question that I am, especially with the Chiefs coming off the bye week, with the way the defense has played, with the history that Patrick Mahomes has had against the AFC West. I am super confident in this game. I am super confident in this stretch. But it feels good this late in the season. Here we are in December to be talking about a Chiefs-Broncos game on Sunday Night Football in prime time with first place on the line. That kicks ass. It's awesome. And it's awesome because I think we know how this movie ends. And I think Denver does too. But their fans could be crazy. Maybe they talked themselves into it. I don't know. But I can't wait till Sunday night. I've been waiting all week for Sunday night. And then Carrie Underwood waits all day. I wait all week for Sunday night. And then I wait to see Carrie Underwood on Sunday. And I see her and I'm happy. And she's happy. And then after that, let's end the Raiders season. And then after that, it'll be a showdown against the Chargers. And that's in prime time. That'll be on Thursday night. Boom, boom, boom. Out of the bye week. Reestablish dominance in the AFC West. And just crap all over the seasons of the three most hated rivals in the division. And that leads you up to Christmas.
Ha!
Now that's what I'm talking about. That's almost better than getting your stocking stuffed. Maybe. Well, I don't know. It's the same feeling. Trust me.
Just depends on the size of your stuff.
So, I come back in here after the bye week, refreshed and ready, and I can't wait to watch the Chiefs take care of business in the AFC West. And again, a reminder, don't take the division for granted. A couple of weeks ago, now the Chargers are the team to beat. Chiefs streak is going to be over. No, it's not. No, it is not. No. We got a big game. We got lots to talk about. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and the Drake, Jason Justice. Thanks for joining us. Kyle Long's back. He's been activated from the PUP list to the 53-man active roster. And so that gives the Chiefs another option at right tackle and quality depth in the interior offensive line. And so that was kind of a forgotten move that was made in the offseason because he was hurt in the offseason right away. And then he was put on the shelf, and we didn't know, is he going to come back? Is he not going to come back? And then they had the activation window. And they've decided to make that move at the last minute to activate Long to the 53-man roster. Also, a couple of injuries and a couple of moves to the IR. Jerick McKinnon because of a hamstring, and then defensive tackle Colin Saunders because of a knee were both placed on injured reserve. And so Kyle Long activated, McKinnon and Saunders placed on injured reserve. And so now you've got at least some options, another option at right tackle. You've got quality depth, and never going to complain about that, especially, again, what we saw last year and how the offensive line ended up being decimated by injury in the postseason. And so it's a good security blanket that could pay big dividends if he ends up playing some right tackle or if there's an injury in the interior offensive line, or it could just be a nice safety net that the Chiefs never need. Either way, that's good news that they have another healthy, experienced offensive lineman available for the stretch run, Nate Bucati.
Yeah, it seems like the team's getting healthy when a lot of other teams are going in the wrong direction in that regard. So that's big, and you mentioned it. We all know why. Depth is so important on the offensive line around here, right?
Why?
Well, some of us do. Right. Jake still figuring that out. But the rest of us that watch the Super Bowl saw what happens when you got when your depth gets tested too much. So that's great. And we talked about it when they signed Long that the odds of him playing a full season were not great. You know, he's had a difficult time doing that back when he was playing a couple years ago. But when he can get on the field, he's a good player. And the
maybe now he can help you get to the the finish line, right?
Yeah, I'd rather have him now than at the beginning of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the bye week seems like it was perfectly scheduled for this team in a lot of ways. Great time for it to come right before this huge three-game stretch that you just mentioned. So let's go.
Mm. Now I got to wait till Sunday night. Okay. We got to hash this out.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, don't say that. Why do you say, oh, no?
Because the way you said
you
that,
ain't seen me in days.
I'm afraid of where you're going with this.
Don't be afraid of it. Okay, so when did I see you last?
Wednesday.
At the Dola White Accidental Mogul Show.
Congratulations to Richie, who played Uptown Theater, which is an incredible accomplishment so early in his career. He's awesome.
And that's where you saw the cooch.
I did see the cooch there. He was getting after it. He was rapping. He was doing everything.
You filthy mouth, filthy minded Drake. And so what do you think since then people have said, hey, when you see Nate, you got to ask him this.
What happened to Sporting this weekend?
And I just tell people, like, hey, look. I'll ask him, and it's probably better that I'm not there Monday or Tuesday. Let things kind of even out.
Yeah.
Because they tend to even out, even though it's a very bitter pill to swallow. So now that you've had time, and it's different when you're hosting and you're thinking of ways to talk about it versus when someone's asking you about it. It's not me asking you about it.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell me over the past couple of days, now that you've had a chance to reflect and you're not so emotional, but maybe you still are. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take you. So then if I'm asking on behalf of several people, hey, man, ask Nate what happened to Sporting. That sucked. Then what now, after thinking about it for the last couple of days, what happened?
Well, and what you might not have seen, but last night, the New England Revolution, who were the one seed in the whole tournament.
Not related to Prince and the Revolution.
No, not related at all.
Right.
They lost as well, which means that had Sporting Kansas City taken care of their business, they would have had home field advantage and hosted MLS Cup.
Stop right there. Does that make you want to vomit?
Yes. Yes, it was. This is the most painful loss I remember as a Sporting Kansas City fan.
I can compare something to this.
And that's saying something, because they've had some painful ones.
Right. So do you think I've had painful losses as a Missouri fan?
Yes.
Okay. I can show you my wares. Okay. But I remember being in Atlanta for the SEC championship game, right? And don't misremember it. That was a hell of a game into the fourth quarter, and then it kind of got away from Mizzou. But at through three quarters, it's right there, man. Big play, slugfest with Auburn. And then after they lost, I looked at the boys and my buddy Sam, and there's other things that had to happen. I said, you know, now that they've lost, everything's going to happen to where if they would have won, they would be in the national championship game. You know that, right? So just let's go ahead and prepare for that. And I can't, maybe it was someone, maybe it was Michigan State beating Ohio State, or that's when it, by the time we get back to the hotel, you know, say, oh, you got to look what's happening on the TV. I said, no, I don't, because I'll tell you what's happening. Whatever has to happen that would have cleared the path for Mizzou to play in the national championship game, that's what's happening right now. I can tell you that. I should have told you to go to Vegas, and that's what happened. And then it makes it even worse. Like, oh, they would have, because other shoes had to, you know, drop.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yep.
But mine was immediate. Yours took a couple days to come to that realization. Well, and that is putting salt in the wound.
Yeah, that was salt. That was twisting the knife. But the path to MLS Cup was already there. Like, they knew that going into the game, because on Thanksgiving, Portland lost. And so everybody was watching, you know, all the Sporting players and fans, everybody that cares was watching that game and saw, oh, now Portland lost all the way till MLS Cup is going to be in Kansas City. The bracket has fallen their way. And for me, I've got a lifetime of experiences with Kansas losing in the tournament as a high seed, expected to go far. Obviously, they had some great years and good runs.
Right.
But I guess maybe the closest thing I could come up with that would be like, because the thing, like, let's use it as a fan of your college basketball team. You know that only so often does the bracket fall your way too. Like, sometimes you feel like, oh, we got a team that's good enough, but the matchup was tough. The bracket wasn't good for us. You know, that type of thing.
Or we'll get them in. Haven't they lost when they were going to get to play in Kansas City in the Sweet 16, and they
perfect.
Didn't.
Yes.
And they lost in the round of 32.
Yes. Yeah.
And then everything fell right, and they're going to have two very winnable games in Kansas City to go to the Final Four.
Yes. Yes. That's happened multiple times. And, or the time that, like, oh, wow, look at this. Got a team that's good enough to win the national title, and VCU's made it all the way to the Elite Eight. I mean, this is a mid-major team.
You're bringing up some tough ones
that you think you're going to get to play.
That's what started your tremendous hatred for Shaka Smart.
That's right. This bracket had fallen that way. RSL was a team that wasn't even really supposed to be in the playoffs. Sporting, I think, is a much better team than them.
Didn't we talk about that stuff that happened in the final day? And I said, how did that affect everything?
And they're in the playoffs because of that. And Sporting had a chance at revenge against them. So I really expected Sporting to come out flying and to come after RSL. And I thought they were going to kick RSL's butt.
I was watching the end of that.
Thing that's crazy, Stephen, is that was happening. You could see that coming. Because RSL dominated Sporting in that game. And I don't know how to explain that. It's one thing. Sometimes you play a game where you're like, man, we just caught some bad breaks. We were the better team. But, you know, we didn't finish our chances. And the other teams, you know, nicked a goal against us. This game, RSL was the better team.
The crew on ABC was critical.
Yeah.
And they were almost painting the picture like leading it, like, you know, like they knew, like what you're saying. They saw it.
Like as the game was going on, they were, well, I mean, because, I mean, I as I was doing the radio broadcast with Jacob Peterson in the second half, we were looking at each other, and the goalkeeper for RSL is a brash young guy that likes to kind of, you know, get under the skin of the crowd. And he was doing some stall tactics to slow the game down, which a lot of times you would do when you're the road team and the underdog. And we even said, I'm not sure why he's stalling, because his team's better than Sporting right now. Like, his team looks the team more likely to win this game.
Did you not like him before this match?
No, I did not like him before this match.
Because I was watching, like, after the match, he was walking around the field.
Yeah.
Kept going, doing the Hulk Hogan, like, you know.
He said that he embraces the villain role. He likes that.
Oh, yeah.
He likes getting the crowd mad at him and all that stuff. He really wasn't the reason that he didn't have anything to do with them winning that game. They outplayed Sporting all over the field. And that's hard to live with. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know why. I don't know if the Sporting Kansas City players were, maybe the moment got to them.
If you don't know why, who the hell am I going to ask? All these people are going to ask me to ask you. Now you don't know why.
But dude, like, George Brett was there. Patrick Mahomes was there.
Patrick Mahomes was holding a sweet baby in that game.
It was just like, you know, 21,600 people, standing room only. The place was going crazy. And then to put out that performance is just such a disappointment. It really hurts. It's going to hurt for a long, long time. Because, you know, even if you have a good team next year, it might not fall this way. You know, like, you can play the rest of your career and not have all the dominoes line up like that. So it's going to be one that stings for quite a while.
And Drake, stop telling me to bring up Sporting every hour, Drake. No, I'm not going there one time. Are you happy now? And that's it. No more. Back
happy
after this.
For you. I'll just say this.
What?
Lucky for you. Lucky for the listeners. I don't feel like talking about soccer a lot for the first time in quite a while. So, you know, there you
see,
go.
But that
now you want me to.
Is when we make you talk about soccer.
I see how that works.
I will make you. Be back after this on WHB. I used to listen to the song a lot, and then someone told me that it's a very whiny song, and I told them to shut up and let me listen to my whiny song because I like to whine.
Is that me?
No.
Okay, good.
I don't think so. No. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, that wasn't me.
No. I don't like that song. It's too whiny. I said, you're too whiny. Get out of my car. It's moving, so what?
Whine about that, buddy.
Yeah, sorry. I apologize. I was working on a guest in the commercial break, Drake, so I've booked someone for 7 a.m. tomorrow, which, according to Jake's very precise records and rundowns he sent out, that appeared to be open. So hopefully that slot has not been filled. But I don't know if you were following any of my tweets from over the weekend. Speaking of hosting playoff games, St. Pius hosted the mm-hmm. state semifinal game.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, that was one of the best games that, certainly one of the best high school games that I've ever been to. But, and you know, Pius went to the state championship game last year and lost a heartbreaker. And so we were all real excited. And the girls, you know, my boys went to Pius, if you don't know. And my girls can't wait to go to Pius. And they go to all the games and get dressed up in all their spirit wear and makeup and everything else, you know, and get all fired up. And we have a lot of fun. We've been to maybe four or five games this year. We've had so much fun that we've only lost one game. And so they were playing Cardinal Ritter out of St. Louis in the state semifinal game. And, you know, really tough, hard-fought game, and it came down to the fourth quarter, and it was 20-14, Cardinal Ritter. And Pius gets a stop, and they get a chance, I don't know, we'll say 5 or 6 minutes left, maybe a little bit more, and they have to drive the whole length of the field and score a touchdown to win the game, keep the season alive, and advance to the state championship game. And they had had a tough time scoring all game long. I mean, one of the touchdowns they scored was a Hail Mary right before halftime, right? From quarterback Jack Marsh to Robbie Sharp. And so they drive, and it's one of those deals where they're just going to try to get back to basics, right? And they're running the football, and Robbie Sharp is the running back, so, you know, he's 3 yards, 4 yards, kind of methodical drive, working their way down the field. And so finally it ends up with 2 minutes left. They're at the Cardinal Ritter 10-yard line, and it's 4th and 3. And you talk, I mean, everyone's like, you know, and there's a timeout, okay, this is it. And I think Pius only had one timeout left, so 4th and 3, 2 minutes left, down 6, you either get the first down or a touchdown, and you get a chance to advance, or the season's over. And, like, what do we do? Like, usually, you know, you're watching, you'll have a pretty good feel, like, boy, they should do this. This is what, I want them to do this on fourth down. I had no idea. And watching, like, I don't know. I don't know. What do they do? And so they hand the ball off to Robbie, and he gets stuffed right away. And everyone's like, you know, how you would react, because you see mm-hmm. he gets stuffed, and it's very difficult to describe this. I retweeted the play if you follow me on Twitter. And as he's being tackled or taken down, he turns around and laterals the ball. And I don't know how he was still up, because they had three defenders hanging on him. And as he was going to be tackled, he laterals the ball back to the quarterback, and at the same time picks up a block instead of being tackled by the guy. Then he's blocking him. And then open receiver at the 1 yard line, touchdown. Everyone goes crazy. They make the extra point. They get the stop on defense. And now they're going to the state championship game to play St. Mary's out of St. Louis, who's like some super team. And their wide receiver, Kevin Coleman, has, I think, oddly enough, 152 Division I offers.
Wow.
No,
that's,
I mean,
a lot.
Look, Google Kevin Coleman rivals or whatever, and just look and you tell me. And so it's going to be, you know, it's Kansas City against St. Louis, and they're going to play at Mizzou in Columbia, and we were going to have the grade school basketball tournament at St. Pius over the weekend, so they moved that. So all the kids and all the grade school kids that want to go, and so we're all going to drive down there on Saturday to go watch the state championship game, Kansas City versus St. Louis. And so Robbie Sharp, who caught the Hail Mary and then made that big play along with quarterback Jack Marsh, Robbie's going to call into the show tomorrow at 7 and talk about it.
That's awesome.
And talk about the impact that I made on him as an assistant grade school basketball coach. And maybe what that was going through his mind. when he was getting ready to lateral the ball, if he was thinking about some of the things that I yelled at him from the bench in 7th and 8th grade basketball. You're like, come on! Come on, get a stop here! Come on, Robbie, make the shot! Come on, make your free throws! Bend your knees! Things like that.
Yep.
I'm probably, you know, it was going through his mind as this was happening. And he thought back to that, and he's thinking, what would Coach St. John do? Coach St. John would have immediately been tackled because I have no flexibility or movement. I was so happy, and you'll love this. And so, and you know who does the live stream play-by-play for Pius? Robbie's dad and the quarterback's dad, Jack Masha's dad.
Oh wow, that's cool.
And can you imagine? And I've been in and done a few quarters of them over the sea. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine, like, say your son's playing in the state semifinal soccer game and you're on the call, and he does something, you know, has a great assist or an unbelievable goal, or whatever, to send his team onto the state championship game, and you're having to call. Would you be able to handle that?
Probably not.
You throw yourself on the ground crying, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That could be good radio, though.
We'd love it if you do it here. That's what we were trying to get when we were asking you about sporting in the last segment, but you wouldn't do it. So, but anyway, I thought that would be fun. And so, and we want, you know, anytime a Kansas City school is going to get a St. Louis school.
That's awesome.
Anyway, that kid, though.
Man.
So this other team.
What a great play. I watched it on your Twitter feed.
But this other team, St. Mary's, played in Mexico, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone said, hey, check on the score. How are they doing against Mexico? And I go, there's 5 minutes left in the first half. What's the score? 45-0. Okay, stop checking the score. Thank you. All right, then, no more. And that kid Coleman had like 4 or 5 touchdowns. He's got offers from LSU, Alabama, Oregon, blah, 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 everywhere else. But you know what? They don't play the game on paper.
That's right.
They don't play the game with offers. They play the game on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be at Mizzou. So go St. Pius. And we'll have Robbie, and we'll try to get Jack to call in. Just, you know, have some fun tomorrow.
That's awesome. I want to give a brief shout out the other day, but I'll do it again to
shout it.
On the other side of the state line, St. James, one of my high school classmates, Jason Denton, is the defensive coordinator there. They just won their second straight state title.
That's the only team to beat St. Pius this year, St. James.
There you go.
So there you go.
So two of our Catholic schools on each side of the state line doing good things.
Let's go, Kansas City schools! We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate, I've been, you know that I love the Hot Stove League, don't you? It warms me up. I like to see a lot of moves. I want trades. I want signings. I love it. So, and I was just telling Drake before the show, I said, boy, I love all this baseball stuff. And he goes, well, I got something for you, right, to lead the show off.
Oh, boy.
That'll absolutely kill your spirit. I said, well, fire away. So, but Buster's been telling us, you know.
Yeah, for over a year now, he's been telling us.
You know, it's there. I mean, there could be some big issues ahead. So how nervous are you about this impending doom that's been promised upon baseball?
I'm kind of over it, to be honest with you.
Like you don't care about if we lose some baseball, or you think they'll just figure it out? Why don't you want me to defend my fantasy baseball rotisserie baseball championship?
Well, I do. Of course I do. And I want baseball to happen. But
I've got an unbelievable freeze list of returning players.
You know, with all the pain and suffering that the average person in this country has gone through over the past 2 years.
This is me trying to get out of bed every day.
Right.
Pain and suffering.
Right.
My back hurts.
I don't really have any time for these owners or players. You know, like, I'm just there. Like, you guys want to fight over your millions and billions, have fun. We'll find something else to do.
Okay, Drake loves baseball.
Find something else to do.
Is this resonating with you? Or are you just like, just get it worked out? Don't take baseball from me.
Oh, I want it worked out. You know, I want to be able to shave this beard in February when pitchers and catchers report like I normally do. I don't want to have it during the summer because that'll be hot and sweaty. But
we'd
no,
like to see it, but
no, I want baseball. But I absolutely see where Nate's coming from, and maybe it's just because we're old now.
We are old.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But I mean, first of all, I've been tired of listening, like because Buster's been telling us for a couple years now about how terrible the relationship is between the owners and the players and how they don't work with one another. They don't communicate on anything. They bicker about every little thing. I'm kind of tired of that. And just like I said, I just feel like this last year has changed my perspective on some things a little bit. And it's, you know, people have been struggling. A lot of people have been struggling. And I guess that, hey, not your problem if you're a billionaire owner or a millionaire player, but I got better things to do with my time to worry about your garbage. Go sort it out. I'll find something else to do while you're – because here's the thing about baseball, man. Like Drake, you say about getting old. The problem with baseball is the only people that give a crap are people that are old like us. You know, and you want to – okay, now you want to take your game off the table – see how many fans come back to you that are already starting to find other things to do with their time and energy as it is.
You really are angry, aren't you? I like it.
I mean, am I wrong? Do you see the interest in baseball out of young people that existed when we were kids? I don't see it in the young people that I'm around as much. There are some kids I know that are big baseball fans. But I just think...
Right now, I keep thinking about you, like going around to, like neighborhood kids. Hey, what do you think of baseball, kids? what do you think of the collective bargaining agreement?
But the thing is, kids don't care
weird
about
neighbor
the collective.
Keeps asking me things about baseball.
But that's my point. Like, kids don't care. I don't care really about the collective bargaining agreement. Kids for sure don't. But there's such a crowded landscape now. When it comes to my own kids. Just getting live sports to take their interest is a bit of a challenge in general because they want to watch YouTube. They want to watch kids playing video games.
They want to watch TikTok.
They want to watch this ticking and talking all the time. And there's just a lot out there to compete with.
They want to get on MySpace.
I just think, man.
And post their favorite music.
Baseball ought to be doing as much as they can to make sure they're getting front of mind to people like that and not losing that audience as opposed to just thing is, for guys like me and Drake and maybe you, losing baseball will hurt. But I think for generations below us, it'll be like, okay, I'll go do something else.
Oh, don't listen to me. I went a year without rotisserie baseball. And I didn't realize how much I depend on that just to get my mind right sometimes as my escape.
Right.
I'm not kidding. Like, for an hour, like, hey, Dad's going to go formulate some trade offers and see if he can screw some other owners in this league. I'll talk to you in an hour, kids. I'm a big nerd about it. There's things, I mean, like Jake, what does he do? Jake has a lot of weird things. See, he has a lot of weird things.
Yeah, he does a lot of things.
That take up his eye. Drake, what's he do? Drake, you love comic books, don't you?
Yeah.
Is that your escape? Does that make you feel good, right?
It is, and baseball cards, but now
right.
Topps is going to stop doing baseball cards,
screw
and that's another
Topps.
Problem.
Right? But like rotisserie baseball, off-season, trades, all stuff, I geek out. You geek out over stuff, don't
yep.
you? What do you geek out over?
Well, you know that.
Besides soccer, but like there's like things that you would,
I spent 5 hours painting a football field in my backyard.
There it is.
Maybe not the best usage of my time, but I loved it.
Says,
made me happy.
Says who?
Right.
So no, I will be very upset. I want things to happen. I also would like the Royals to sign someone.
Well,
waiting. I kind of waiting. I just any, you know.
Why sign anybody when you don't even know what the CBA is going
to
be?
Drake said he was very excited that they were able to tender an offer to Ryan O'Hearn, so he's still in the fold. So Drake says he's in on Sports Radio 810 WHB.